Loving Father, as we come together today, and as we read the scriptures together, and as we consider the importance of the Word of God in our own personal lives, may we remember of that wisdom and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ that your Word has for us, that we might apply ourselves to it and learn of those things which you have for us. Lord, that we may walk in faith and that we may love with that agape love which Christ himself had and did love, even to love the whole world and to sacrifice his life for the sins of the world. Lord, that we might appreciate those attributes of which Jesus Christ himself displayed toward us, and that through his shed blood upon the cross, we find the forgiveness of sins, for he is the holy Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And we thank you, Father, that you have manifested him to us in the fullness of time, born of a virgin, conceived of the Holy Ghost, and brought into this world as the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God, that he grew up as a man and lived upon the earth and did show himself righteous and holy, and that he fulfilled the law completely in his own life for us. He fulfilled all righteousness. And in that time of which he was to drink of that cup of sadness, humility, meekness, sacrifice, and atoning for the sins of the world, he bore the cross and willingly took upon himself the form of a servant and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. We thank you, our Father, that we can reflect upon these things, for we know that all the fullness of the Godhead was manifested in Jesus. And to know him is to know life eternal. And so bless now, Father, our time together as we read and comment upon the Word of God, that it may also take hold upon our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. This brief passage from 15 to the end of the chapter is basically under the area of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. As we look at verse 17, it kind of comes to this key verse in this short overview, wherein the apostle prayed for the believers at Ephesus. And as this epistle is considered to be perhaps a general epistle that was distributed among many of the churches, it is very likely that it became read by all of the churches, not just the church at Ephesus. Wherein Paul says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. We find that the apostle was uniquely gifted and talented by God to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to the Gentiles and to all that he came in contact with, to the Jew first and to the Gentile, as we find in Romans 1:16 that he says that the power of God is just that, to preach the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom he is not ashamed, to both Jew and Gentile alike. The universal aspect of the gospel of Christ is that it is to go into the world. Every time we come in contact with another person, we should think of this Great Commission message. It should be one that is upon our own hearts, if possible, as much as it was also upon the heart of the apostle. Though we might not consider ourselves apostles in the true sense of the word, but if we might think of ourselves, at least in the sense of the meaning of the word, as being sent, for an apostle was sent, each of us should carry that trademark upon our hearts that we have been sent out into the world. It is not enough for us to know something and not to tell it. It is not enough for us to know Christ and to go on living as though we should not share this message with other people. To know the commissioning of the Lord Jesus Christ to his own disciples should be enough to tell us also that we need to be a part of this great work that God intended for each of his beloved brethren to take to the world, to others. In verse 15, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus. Paul heard of their faith in the Lord Jesus. Sometimes perhaps we're a bit too sectarian, that we think only the Baptists are going to make it. If you have the discernment to know true faith and you hear of somebody who has true faith in the Lord Jesus and they need prayer, would you not pray for them? Would you not encourage them? Seek to edify them in faith? Seek to exhort them in the scripture. Paul heard of their faith in the Lord Jesus. Was the Ephesus church any more perfect than the Corinthian church or the church at Laodicea, which also this epistle might have been written for? Or any of the other churches within Asia Minor, those seven, being they which were expounded upon in the book of Revelation, and each of them needing a message from the Lord Jesus. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus. Take it a little bit more personal and look at the person beside you and think of it toward that person as well, that we can be such an encouragement and edification unto one another. Not smugly, as though we think we alone have the key to faith, but be just a little bit more gracious than that. And realize that God's grace has reached such as you and I, and that we are not to esteem ourselves better than another, but that we are to consider one another and provoke one another unto love and good works, even as the apostle himself did. And his heart was drawn in his messages to make such proclamation to those people that he wrote to, knowing that each of them was different, but yet each of them needed the ministry of the Word of God and the wisdom and knowledge of Jesus Christ, and he prayed that they might have it. And so this passage is as much about prayer as it is about a heart that Paul had for these people. Verse 16, cease not. I cease not, in the sense that he continued to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. I guess we might just say that the heart of a true Christian is a heart of prayer. I'm not here to criticize your prayer life. The minute you put it in a book and think you've got it all down pat, you probably haven't even got it right at all. But if your prayers are such as come up to Jesus and know that he is your only high priest, if your prayers are such that you pray for the brethren and you intercede on the behalf of them concerning their needs in the name of Jesus Christ, who alone is our effectual high priest, who is seated at the right hand of the Father, and who himself makes intercession for us before the Father, and know that even the Spirit of God prays when your prayers seem most feeble and unworthy, then it may be very well that you are not only praying very adequately, but that God is hearing you as well. Don't fall into somebody else's identification of what prayer is all about. Go to the book. Find the one you're supposed to be praying to, and the reason you're supposed to be praying to him. And if all of those things line up, pray, realizing that Jesus is the true, effectual mediator between God and man for us, and not anything else. And Paul prayed for the believers at Ephesus, the believers at Laodicea, the believers at Pergamos or Smyrna or Thyatira. Whatever believers he knew, it seems that Paul had a heart to pray for these believers. And he ceased not to give thanks for them. There are many throughout the world today, Christians, who are believers. You may pray for believers in the Gospel for Asia missionary churches. You might pray for the believers in Germany, where Christine Sears is ministering. You might pray for the believers at Jerusalem, where Oded and Bimini serve unto Jews for Jesus. You might be praying for the Burley family in New York City and for the believers there, where they go out and do street meetings and where they seek to preach the gospel in the open air. You might be praying for furtherance ministries with Ed Seeley and know that he has a great host of churches and believers that he is impacting for Christ. Or you may be praying for people that you know personally. But prayer is want to be made. In verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. It seems that Paul was so infused with the doctrine of Christ, he could not leave any aspect of the true doctrine of God out of his comments. For he says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, includes God the Father, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Wisdom is from God, and the revealing of God and of the truths of Jesus Christ are part and parcel to what the gospel is all about. And the very reason that we know that we have faith in the Lord and that He Himself is our Savior. I'll have to hurry along through this just a bit, if you don't mind. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. The word understanding here in some of the translations is translated heart. The eyes of your heart. Seems like the heart can understand, if you will, even to see divine truth. Why is that? Well, we might say it's the center of emotion. No, not the physical organ, which pumps blood, but if it were not for that physical organ, we'd be dead, wouldn't we? And the life-giving blood, which is a part of us because of God, cannot be substituted. If you don't mind, I think I'll sit down for a moment. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. As we've already seen in this passage, that there is much concerning the calling of the believer and the inheritance that we have in Christ. And that our calling is in Christ and our inheritance is because of the Lord Jesus Christ. But these are that riches which we have in Christ Jesus. Riches that affirm to us that apart from the grace and mercy of God, we do not know of that life which is to come, or have any hope of it. But in Christ, when we know Him, when we sense that true work of God which He has done in our lives, we come to that place where our hearts have been truly enlightened, if we might use that term, not in an Eastern mystical sense at all, but in the sense that God has opened the blind eyes and unstopped the deaf ears spiritually, that we are able to discern that Christ is the true Son of God, the Savior of the world, and the provision which He has made for us is that we must come to Him and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as that Savior if we are to know Him and to know life eternal. What riches do we have? They're manifold. And this is part of that wisdom and knowledge in Christ that we may enjoy and discover as we read the Word of God and trust in the Lord Jesus. In verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe? According to the working of His mighty power. The exceeding greatness of God. When we think about the exceeding greatness of God, not only in creation, but in revelation of Himself, and of what He has done to redeem man, truly the exceeding greatness of God is so great that we have a great difficulty fathoming what God is doing at all. We can read the Bible and we can study it. It does not mean that we cannot know what God is doing. It does not mean that we cannot know His greatness and His sovereignty. There is much that reveals the greatness and the sovereignty of God. It only means that we have to apply ourselves unto wisdom, and we have to allow that the Spirit of God can teach us. Reginald Showers, in one of his books, which he wrote, What on Earth is God Doing?, by that title, described it as a great umbrella. A timeline runs underneath of the umbrella. And upon that timeline, there are many events in the manifestation of God's wisdom and power and revelation which have been revealed to us, from the creation of the world to the end of the age. And upon that timeline, we may mark as many of them as we can discover. But upon the semicircle, if you will, the umbrella itself, which runs from end to end, we find, now that is a different story. That describes what on earth God is doing. And God alone knows what is within that semicircle, which overshadows the timeline, which is of course, a horizontal line. And like any horizontal view, we can only see just so far. We cannot see the end from the beginning. We can only see part of it. We must stand back a great distance in order to view something more on this horizontal plane. But God is in such a perspective that upon this semicircle, He knows what's going on from one end of the timeline to the other. After all, His power is great, He is sovereign, He is God. It is He that sits upon the circle of the earth, and that all the nations of the world are as a drop in the bucket compared to His glory and His greatness. And they rise and fall based upon His design. The greatness and the power of God. And upon this timeline, Jesus Christ enters into the picture, the Son of God, set forth from eternity past to intersect us in time and eternity, and to bring us such knowledge of Himself, the wisdom and knowledge and revelation of God, that we are made to realize that God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son. The greatness and the power of God is so great, it's unfathomable. But upon this line, we find that Paul says this, knowing what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. So it is not that we cannot discover. It does not mean that we cannot know and be blessed by the greatness of His calling and the inheritance and the glory of His grace. No, there is much for us to know. And we have to ask the Lord to show us as much as He will. Not beyond what the Scripture says, because the Scripture tells us what we need to know. If there is something left out, then be content and leave it with God. There is more than enough revealed to us, if we will look to the Lord Jesus Christ, if we will seek that wisdom and knowledge which Jesus alone can give to us, of the greatness and the glory and the power of God. Verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power? Well, it is great. It is truly God's work to reveal such things to us. These are heavenly things, but God can bless us much with them as we look to Him. Which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places. So here Paul intercepts all these great and wonderful things that he would that the church at Ephesus and the other churches that were given these epistles, that they might also realize that they come together in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Let us study Jesus. Let us learn more about him. More about Jesus and his love. And we sang that hymn this morning, I believe. And how true it is that we need to learn more about the Lord Jesus and study that we might know him. And as we know him, God reveals to us more and more his Son. Because he sent Jesus to be that example for us and sacrifice for our sin. According to the working of his mighty power. You must say that from the very beginning, it was God's purpose to bring redemption into the world. Glorify himself, yes, but through this great plan of redemption, he would manifest himself to such a high degree that Jesus Christ would be the epitome, the high pinnacle point of his great work for man. That God sent his only begotten Son to die for our sins. In verse 20, which he brought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. So here it comes down to the resurrection. He brought these things together in Christ, but he raised Christ from the dead. God the Father raised him, his own beloved Son, from the dead. Well, they are eternally connected. It was most important that he should do this to finish his great plan of redemption. To show that his only begotten Son, who was brought into this world to die for the sins of the world, could make full atonement for it. Therefore, he must live again. And he must be that full sacrifice for sin, and so conquer death itself by being the first fruits from the dead. No one else had ever done what Jesus did. Jesus became the first fruits of the dead. And verse 21, far above all principality and power and life and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that world to come. So here is the name of Jesus. It is that name which is above every other name. Because God the Father intended that his Son should hold and be elevated to such a high and lofty position as to take his place as he was in eternity past, he would now be at the very right hand of God the Father. Now just in what capacity in eternity past, well, it would not hold anything. But as far as we know, he is now back into union with God the Father at the very right hand of the throne of God. And there he fulfills that role which God intended for him to do for us in his great plan of redemption. And so Paul prays for this knowledge and power to be given unto the church at Ephesus. And it does not seem that this is anything more unique to the church at Ephesus as it is to any other church. Should we not also all seek to know the wisdom and knowledge of wisdom and revelation of Jesus Christ that God has so freely by his grace given? These are things that we all should know. We all have the privilege of delving into these, the riches of his grace, the inheritance of the saints, we all have the same privilege of reading this divine revelation, of asking God the Holy Spirit to minister to us and teach it to us. And would to God also remember that each of us have that divine interrelationship to the Lord Jesus Christ, a privilege, if you will, as being saints according to the inheritance, that we have been given this divine relationship. We have been given this relationship. Like one who has been willed certain rights and privileges, we have been adopted into the family of God. Each of us have been given this right and privilege to know the wisdom and knowledge of Jesus Christ. God can reveal it to us. Not over above than what anybody else knows, just according to the Word of God. Whatever God tells us in His Word, we can know it. And so, beloved brethren, pray for one another and encourage one another in this. And we have an equal standing in the Church of Jesus Christ, because all things have been put under the authority of Christ, and Christ is the head of the Church. Verse 22 and 23, and hath put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the Church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Loving Father, we do thank You for Your Word to us. Thank You for the blessing of it. Pray, Lord, that You may teach us what it means to come to You in that wisdom and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and how we might explore more fully the inheritance of the saints, the riches of His grace, according to His mighty power to work. And Lord, that we might be so much encouraged that we are blessed and we are able to be a great help to others. And so we give thanks and praise to You, for it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. For closing hymn 442, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. And we're going to take about 10 or 15 minutes after the service if we could. I have a quarterly report I want to hand out to everybody so that you know where the financial outlook of the church is. So don't run away. And give me about 10 minutes just to present the quarterly report. It won't take very long. Yes.